Welcome, everyone, to The Conversation on Coast Community Radio. My name's Graham Nystrom, and today's topic is device addiction, also known as problematic smartphone use. And I don't think this is limited to smartphones. I think that we could include laptops, iPads, etc. In the list. And so, do you have any thoughts about the way that our devices are taking over our lives? When you sit around the dinner table, are you engaging in conversation with your family, or is everybody looking for the next text to come through? I did just a little bit of research on this, and so I'm going to start with a little bit of information from Wikipedia and then from an article from Psych Alive. And so problematic smartphone use, also known as smartphone overuse, smartphone addiction, mobile phone overuse, or cell phone dependency, is considered a psychological disorder. And so, according to research by Jean M. Twenge, a professor of psychology at San Diego State University, there's a correlation between mobile phone overuse and depression. Yikes. Also, psychologist Nancy Collier has argued that people have lost sight of what is truly important to them in life. She says that people have become disconnected from what really matters, from what makes us feel nourished and grounded as human beings. People have become so addicted to their phones that they are almost dependent on them. Humans are not meant to be constantly staring at a screen, as time is needed to relax their eyes and, more importantly, their minds. Collier states, without open spaces and downtime, the nervous system never shuts down. It's in constant fight-or-flight mode. We're wired and tired all of the time. Even computers reboot, but we're not doing it. What do you think? Give us a call, 503-325-0010. It's been a long time since I was a student in a classroom, and I do believe that cell phones were maybe still in the development phase. I think I got my first cell phone when I was in college. I think we had a problem with beepers when I was in high school. Kids had to turn in their beepers. Remember those? Anyway, we've come a long way with our personal devices from beepers. And so I don't know what teachers are doing these days, what schools are doing. Are there limitations in the classrooms? Is this something that you have some insight on? We would love to hear about it. So give us a call, 503-325-0010. So I'm going to get to a little bit of this article called Understanding Cell Phone Addiction by Lena Firestone. And let's see, she starts off by saying, I wake in the middle of the night and instinctively reach for my phone. I innocently tell myself that I just need to check the time. It's still dark out and I will surely go back to sleep. But as soon as the iPhone is in my hand, muscle memory takes over. Before I know it, I've checked my email, browsed through Instagram, scrolled through my Facebook feed, and gone back to Instagram. I check my phone first thing in the morning and right before I go to bed at night. I feel anxious if my iPhone's battery is under 10%. I not only tap away on my phone while in the line at the coffee shop, but I may continue tapping away as the barista takes my order. Now, this is me talking. That's a no-no. If you're in line or if you're getting service, put those phones down. Okay, back to the article here. I check my phone during lulls, in meetings, even in the middle of my favorite shows. It's embarrassing to admit all this, but I have a feeling that I'm not alone. Now, here are a couple of statistics. The percentage of smartphone users who would actually be classified as addicted is estimated between 10 and 12%, according to the director of the Center for Internet and Technology Addiction, Dr. David Greenfield. However, in a survey of cell phone users, Dr. Greenfield found that around 90% of Americans fall in the category of overusing, misusing, or abusing their devices. A recent study also found that 50% of teens feel that they are addicted to their devices. So the number is 503-325-0010. Are you concerned about cell phones? Are you concerned about electromagnetic radiation or what it's doing to your eyes or your brain? Do you correlate depression or any other symptoms with overexposure to a computer screen? Now, remember, we're not just talking about smartphones. We can include computers in this. Personally, I spend a lot of time on the computer at work, and I have been trying to make a point of engaging in non-screen work every day And so finding a project that requires use of my hands and not the computer. And so why are cell phones so addictive? Cell phone addiction may not be an official psychological diagnosis just yet. However, it functions very similarly to gambling addiction. Technology addiction expert David Greenfield, Dr. David Greenfield, refers to smartphones as the world's smallest slot machine. He explains that smartphones, just like slot machines, operate on a variable reinforcement schedule. Every once in a while, you get a reward, a piece of information, a text, an email, an update. Something comes through that you find salient or pleasurable, but you don't know when you're going to get it, what it's going to be, and how good it's going to be. This is exactly the same reinforcement schedule as a slot machine. What's highly addictive about these things is the idea that the neurobiological expectation they set up, that a reward is coming, but you don't know when you're going to get it. And so it looks like we've got our first caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Thank you. Thanks to people texting while driving. Hold on a second. It caused me to sell my Harley Davidson. I was going down I-5 between Woodland and La Center, Woodland and Longview, and I'm in the middle lane, and I look to the right, and the guy next to me in that lane is texting. Every now and then, he would look up to see how he was doing. I look to my left, and the same thing. Every now and then, this guy would look up to see how he's doing. I got home. I told my wife, I'm going to sell my motorcycle before I get dead. You can't go anywhere, without people texting. They're walking, they're texting. They're in a restaurant, they're texting. I was in Shelton a while back, and a young couple, it looked like even on a high school date, came in. Very cute little couple. She sat on one side of the table. He sat on the other side of the table. They both pulled out their phones, and they started texting. I thought, man, what a nice date. So I'm old. I'll give them that. But good God, man, there seems like people have lost touch with reality 100%. So that's my comment.
Okay, well, that's a fantastic comment. And sorry you had to sell your bike.
All right, bye.
Bye. 503-325-0010. What's your experience with cell phone technology and how pervasive it's become in most of our lives? A couple of points that I'd like to bring up from personal experience are I'm in a possibly unique age group, maybe not, but when I was born, we had the rotary phone, no answering machine, no call waiting, no caller ID. And then came along those cassette answering machines where you could hit play and then you had to manually rewind it. And then caller ID came about, and that was pretty cool because then we could know when not to answer the phone. and then here we are, you know, 20 years after that or more, 30 years after that, and it's the smartphone world has taken over. And so when I was growing up, when we left the house, we were unreachable. And other people were essentially unreachable to us unless we stopped at a payphone. And maybe the grass is always greener, but I think I liked it better that way. I liked being able to leave the house and not have to worry about getting back to folks until I got home. And now there's an expectation that you're going to respond within a matter of seconds, it seems. You know, if you don't respond to a text, oof, bad cell phone etiquette. And also leaving the house, you know, I think that the reinforcement for having a cell phone when you leave the house is, well, what if you get a flat tire? Or what if you get lost? Or what if you run out of gas? You know, what if an emergency happens? And so there's a feeling of safety that comes from having your cell phone. But how true is that? I'm not sure, because I think there was always the, you know, I had a litter in need if you ran out of gas on the highway or if you got a flat tire or if there was an emergency. So I can definitely see the positives, but do they outweigh the negatives? I don't know. 503-325-0010. We are 10 minutes into the show and we have only heard from one person. Surely there are more opinions out there about cell phones. Do you love them? That's cool. Let's hear about it. I'm still really interested to hear what's going on in the classrooms these days. Is this a problem for teachers? Are students texting under their desk all day long? Are teachers allowed to confiscate phones? What are the policies at some of the local schools? Okay, we do have our next caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'd like to talk on this subject.
Please do. Please do. Go ahead.
All right. So I don't own a cell phone. All right. And it really saddens me how it's disrupted communication. People don't call each other anymore to talk. They just text. All right. And I'm also aware of the danger of the radiation from these phones that are way over our limits. It's scrambling people's brains. The head of Microsoft that's retired in Canada said we're doing our children a disservice by having everything delivered by air, that everything should be hardwired in.
I'm a big fan of wires myself. Wireless technology in the audio world is never worth the trouble.
Anyway, this is what I want to say because it's scrambling the brain. This is radiation. The new Apple iPhone is way, way, way above radiation limits. This is destroying our eyes and making everybody clickbait without reasoning and research.
Right. Well, we should all be cautious, shouldn't we?
Yes. And if you went into your cell phones, even in the, I don't have one, but I've been told that they tell you not to wear it on your body. And there is a rise in breast cancer, testicle cancer, and brain cancer from these technologies.
Yeah, I'm always concerned when people put their cell phone in their breast pocket. It's true. Yeah, I wonder if they could do more shielding. You know, why don't cases have a little bit of EMF shielding?
Well, other countries have more, I think, in my research, have less radiation. There's more control on this.
Interesting. Okay, well, any other last thoughts for us today?
No, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your call.
Bye-bye.
If you're just tuning in, this is The Conversation on Coast Community Radio, and we are talking about, let's see, Wikipedia calls it problematic smartphone use. I call it device addiction. What do you call it? And we have our next
Hello.
Caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, thank you. Interesting topic. I was just thinking, as you explained this, the situation, syndrome, whatever, you know, I think the main deal is that parents want to be able to contact their children, and children would like maybe to contact their parents. And I think that's the primary reason why parents allow their youngsters to have these devices. I and my wife have these cell phones. I call them wooden with little stone buttons. And the only thing they do is take and we can send calls. That's the only thing that they do. And, you know, but I have, like your last caller, someone previously said they go to restaurants and see young couples staring at their bloody iPhones when they really should be staring into their beautiful eyes and wasting their lives. I've known people with device addiction for many, many, many years, gamers especially. And that's my comment, but I think what people really want to do is to be able to reach their children and have their children reach them. They don't need all this other stuff to become addicted to. And I agree, it is an addiction.
Yeah, I wonder if there's any parents... Thanks for your call. I wonder if there's any parents out there that have parameters on phones where they can lock down features. Do they restrict use with their kids? Give us a call, 503-325-0010. Let us know what you think about problematic smartphone use. And we have our next caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, it is Peter from California.
Hello, Peter.
And I'm sorry that I am going to be one of the folks that really enjoys the benefits of his smartphone. And if I could just give you a few of the things from, like, the last 24 hours. Yesterday, I communicated with my son's teacher because I was chaperoning a field trip, and so she was able to message us a map of the area and the itinerary and who was going to be in our group. And then once we were at the site, I had a map of where the parking lot was, and I used an app for when to leave my house in order to get to the destination. I was able to keep in communication with my wife and say, you know, we're having a great time. Here's a picture of where we are and the things that my son is learning. And when I got home, I was able to use my laptop to process the photos that I had taken and post them to my family's, you know, private photo page where only they can see it and they can, you know, keep in touch with what's going on. And then this morning it's only 9 o'clock and I've already texted my daughter's teacher to say that she's not feeling well this morning, so she won't be in school. I texted my son's tennis coach to say it looks like there's going to be rain tomorrow, so we're going to have to cancel tennis class. I texted my friend whose son is also in the class and said, you know, we're not going to have any class because of rain.
Okay, we're getting the picture. Lots of good things in the last 24 hours. I'm impressed.
And so it is endless. It's
is there a line? You know, is there a line for you where, you know, those are all very proactive, good examples of the use of technology. But what about all those other hours where you're scrolling through a feed and not getting anywhere and hurting your eyes? I mean, sending a quick text to a teacher is a great example. You could probably communicate with a teacher on the phone. You couldn't process photos, you know, without digital devices. Is there a line that you're worried about crossing?
I feel like I'm doing all right, to be honest. It sounds really smug, but I don't feel like I'm addicted. I do worry about the next generation, and I guess that's the what every older generation feels is the next one is in deep trouble, because we can handle our devices and they can't. Much like our parents, I think we're really concerned about us watching too much TV and rotting our brain and going blind from sitting so close.
Okay, well, we have a couple of other callers. Any last words of wisdom for us today?
No words of wisdom. I just really hope I hope I'm not wrong.
I think it's good to get some counterpoint, though. A lot of positive things, and so Peter in California is going willingly, assimilating into the Borg, and it's a good life.
Yeah, it did remind me when you were talking about the book Origin by who wrote the Da Vinci Code, Dan Brown. That's an interesting read if you're into, you know, unsophisticated literature, and it does talk a lot about the integration of technology into humanity.
Uh huh. Yeah, when the USB drive plugs directly into your ear.
Something like that, yeah.
Okay, well, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
We've got a couple other callers on the line, so I'm going to get right to them. Hi. Sorry. Yep, let's try that again. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes. I don't know about the addiction part, but I do have one quick comment.
Okay.
Thanks to the texting on the road and addictions, I got one heck of a deal on a Harley. I'll take it off the air.
That's fantastic. Congratulations. Okay, and we've got one more caller to patch into the air room. And we're talking about smartphone overuse, device addiction. How do our interaction with our digital devices affect our lives? Positively, negatively, somewhere in between? It's a complicated topic, and we appreciate your calls. 503-325-0010. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning, Graham. This is Lexi down in Seaside.
Good morning.
And I'm a practicing yogi and also yoga teacher down here. And I wanted to give a little yogic perspective to it.
Great.
So if you think about human needs and the primary needs that we have as a human species, we have three basic needs: safety, connection, and adventure. Connection is one of the very important ones. It provides us a deep sense of belonging, assurance, and reciprocity. That practice of exchanging things with one another for mutual benefit. And in my opinion, and what I've observed over my 59 years here, especially the last 20 or so that we've been involved with kind of this addiction to screens and being distracted so much of the time, is that that time is being wasted that could be precious moments and opportunities in our life that we can actually choose to actually be engaged, aware, conscious, and mindful. And by doing that, we actually are choosing much more vibrant connection, not only in our communities, but with our family, with our children, with our pets, and that also that engagement with nature, which is so critical for our human wellness and our balance. So I just wanted to put that out there, that it's easy to start feeling like everybody's just lost their minds on these screens and such. But what you really are losing is that deep sense of connection. And as I said, it's one of the most essential things that we have as a human species. So I just want to share that with you, and you have a great day.
That's a great comment. Thank you so much.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. 503-325-0010 is the number to call if you'd like to chime in on the conversation about problematic smartphone use or device addiction. We've got our next caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, this is Maverick. I was calling in, I guess, support of cell phones and laptops. I usually have to keep a cell phone or a laptop on me to keep in contact with my part-time job. I work as an editor for a company that isn't profitable at the moment. Cell phones and laptops help me for I help pay for someone else's, I send money over the phone for someone else's food, and then we can just sort of go to an app, pull it up and just sort of be able to talk to each other and see each other while we're eating and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Are there any limitations that you try to follow with your use?
Kind of. Or is it limitations would be that, limitations would be the troubleshooting with problems. There's always something going on with the phone or the laptop that I need to fix.
Mm-hmm.
There's always the idea that I'm going to get some sort of brain cancer or something, but I believe that the benefits outweigh the cons in this situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the main limitation that I work towards is when I'm not at work, how much of my smartphone use is dedicated towards work-related stuff. And maybe it's different when you're part-time or when your schedule's a little bit flex and you're expected to be answering the phone at home and things. But I think it's good for me to try to draw the line between my work life and my personal life. And the smartphone is one of those things that tends to dull that line.
I agree. It does sort of blend the two together.
Yeah.
A bit too much.
All right. Well, thanks for the call, Maverick. Any other thoughts?
Not that I can think of off the top of my head. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for the call. 503-325-0010. We've got about 5 minutes left, and I am anxious to hear what you think about problematic smartphone use or device addiction. And we have our next caller on the air. Hello.
Hi. So I have both pros and cons. I think they're amazing things it's a computer and a camera. I mean, there's so many things about it. I'm a senior. I do like it to, in case I fall down or something happens. But the negative sides are it is all traceable. I worry about young people being inappropriate, the accessibility of Facebook and Instagram and just being inappropriate, and it's staying with them and affecting their future, and also the how everybody can trace you through it, as well as all the medical. Both sides of what everybody's been saying, I agree with, both the pros and the negatives.
Well, I'm really glad you brought up the privacy issue.
Yeah.
I think that's an important one.
Scary, yeah. and then just we really need what's good, what do you say, manners.
Right.
About, you know, not doing it at dinner. And just there's so much stuff that I wish was so just made what was acceptable in this society and what wasn't, because there's so much bad cell phone manners going on.
Agreed.
And I think that's all.
Okay. Well, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
So while we're waiting for our next caller to join the conversation, I'm going to come back to this article about cell phone addiction by Lena Firestone. Why are cell phones so addictive? We talked about them being a little bit like a slot machine, and that it's similar to a gambling addiction, that there's a dopamine release when you get that text that you wanted or when you get that like on Facebook. But you may scroll through your feed or whatever it is for half an hour and you may not get anything. And so that's one of the addicting things about it. And let's see, how to break cell phone addiction. There's some resources out there. And so if you do feel like you're addicted, then, you know, consider doing some of these tips, like getting your phone out of the bedroom. You don't necessarily need to sleep with it by your bed. You're probably not going to fall or run out of gas or get a flat tire while you're sleeping. You could put yourself on a digital diet. And so you can put some limitations on your use. One of the ways to do that is by setting up a digital schedule. So you can assign certain chunks of time throughout the day to go phone free. And you could go drastic with a digital detox. And so maybe you want to spend an entire weekend with zero cell phone use. 503-325-0010. This is The Conversation, and we're talking about device addiction. We've got just a couple more minutes left in the program, so plenty of time for your call. And we'd love to hear from you, your thoughts, pros, cons, somewhere in between. You take the good, you take the bad, you put them together, and look what you have. The facts of life. Going back to my earlier comment about the changes in technology that I have seen over the 4 decades now that I've been alive, I sure do miss the old days. I liked that cassette tape answering machine. How about you? We've got our next and possibly last caller. Hi, Ed.
Hey, how's it going?
Caller ID coming through.
Okay.
It's good.
New technology.
Yeah.
Well, my main comment would just be not only cell phones, but texting, Facebook, how things get misinformation. Get spread so much more rapidly. You know, back in my day, when I was a kid, it was the wall phone and, you know, my mom gossiping and, you know, things got around, but not like today. And I see too many times in our community where things get blown way out of proportion. You know, subjects are rapidly going here to there on things that people don't really know what the facts are. And pretty soon the whole community is all disturbed over something that, if they had the facts, it's not a big deal.
Yeah, so the last caller talking about privacy issues and now talking about misinformation issues, I think that's a really good one.
Yeah, I think, you know, in the days, any time I try to deal with somebody, I try to do it eyeball to eyeball, so there's no misunderstanding. And when you get texting back and forth, you know, there's certain words you use or something that people get all upset about and think you're dissing them or something, and you're really not. And, you know, there's nothing so good as just eyeball to eyeball and sit down and figure things out.
Interpersonal connection.
And just, yeah, communication with, you know, there are people talking about young kids, but it's not just young kids. You see a whole family sitting in a restaurant, and the whole family, nobody's talking to each other. They've all got their phones out, mom, dad, kids, grandpa, grandma, the whole bunch.
But Ed, what if they weren't on their cell phones and they were just yelling at each other? What's
Well, that could happen too. It would be nice to have some civil conversation and kind of know where the other guy's coming from.
Yeah, maybe we're losing touch with our emotions.
Yeah, that could be. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks for the call, Ed.
Hey, nice to talk to you, Rick. Bye.
You've been listening to The Conversation on Coast Community Radio. That wraps up our show for the day. Stay tuned for headline news at 10:01, and then Albert is in for Friday Folk until noon. Then you can catch Fresh Air, followed by Thistle and Shamrock, E-Town Live, Arts Live and Local. Today, Carol Newman welcomes guests Marianne Monson, releasing her new historical fiction novel to commemorate the 100th anniversary of U.S. women's suffrage. Bruce Watts and Ron Craig talking about the appearance of author Gregory Noakes at the Astoria Library for Black History Month. And Seth Titchener and Ron Craig talking about their two-part series, Slavery, Religion, and Freedom, at the Fort George Lovell Showroom. This is Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria 91.9 FM, KTCB Tillamook 89.5 FM, and streaming on the web at coastradio.org. Thanks for listening. Thanks to our members. Have a great Friday and a great weekend.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. President Trump is railing against multiple media reports that the intelligence community has alerted members of Congress to Russia's attempts to again undermine the 2020 election in the incumbent's favor. Legislation involving intelligence happens to be the reason U.S. Attorney General William Barr plans to meet with Republican senators on Capitol Hill next week. NPR's Ryan Lucas has more.
Officials tell NPR that Barr is planning to attend the regular Senate Republican lunch next Tuesday. The attorney general accepted the invitation weeks ago in order to talk with GOP members about reauthorizing intelligence provisions that are set to expire this year. The programs are a priority for both Barr and the Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. While the meeting has long been in the works, it comes at a rocky time for Barr. He has considered quitting over frustration with the president's tweets about the Justice Department and its ongoing cases.